right, good afternoon, everyone. Appreciate you all joining today's call. Wanted to obviously have a meeting prior to our next quarterly meeting to discuss several first right opportunities that have come our way. Some of these appear to almost be duplicate, but I'm not certain based off of COVID and the fact that these locations have doubled back to reach out. I'm not sure. Well, I do know a couple of them have not secured contracts since our last waiver. However, respectfully, they still wanted to double back to us to just see if we, by chance, had any follow-up interest to these locations. So before we start, I'd like to take an attendant. And I'll start with myself. Tyrell Sampson is present. Zach Moore, are you here?
Present.
Okay, Chairman Roberts.
Here.
Vice Chairman Brandy Altagot.
Here.
Keith Haley.
I'm here, and star six is the mute button, just so everyone knows.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, sir. Amos Vitorimo.
Here.
Shelly McDermott. Carmela Pereira. Rich Roger. Dave Pelagi, Angel Torres.
I'm here.
That's perfect. Thank you. Anyone else on the call that I did not call? That's great. All right. So moving right along into the agenda. The first location under first right of refusal is the Stanford Government Center. As most of you should have acknowledged, I did send out site surveys for each of these locations, and Stanford Government Center was a interesting location. This location apparently used to operate as a snack stand and a full cafeteria in the past. However, due to COVID and the effects of this virus, the building has decided to operate its food service a bit different going forward. They've decided to close the cafeteria, however, allow the coffee shop to remain on the first floor, but still allow the coffee shop to utilize the kitchen equipment to create entrees. So the person that operates currently now has been operating for that location, I believe, over 15 years. Same operator as operated the kitchen or the cafeteria and the snack stand. So she's essentially just reduced her operation down and had to modify according to the building's request. This building now operates under appointment only. In addition, the current staff have the option to operate telework several days of the week, drastically reducing the population, day-to-day population. This is a location that we've waived in the past. This time around, I was able to invite two potential interested candidates from VR to site survey. We didn't have anyone internally. When I say internally, any existing operator in the program of interest. So as we look to rebuild, I'm also looking to identify new candidates in the program. And we had two individuals take the tour. I did hear back from one who did not have interest. I never heard back from the second one. So I assume no interest, and based off of this operation, it does not appear to be a viable operation. It's kind of more or less makeshift to satisfy the building's needs. While we were there, we were able to identify three vending machines that were non-Besby machines, so we jumped right on that. There will be corrective action in regards to that, so we will be placing Besby vending machines in at the end of this contract. Because they were identified then as non-compliant machines, but then in further response from the building, they were actually tied to a 2011 food service contract that's set to expire in August. So in August, we will be placing Besby machines out of this location. With that said, that's pretty much the information I have, and so I'm looking forward to the committee to based off the information provided to you guys, make a determination of this location, the acceptance of this location.
Now, do you think
in the motion, do you need to do you need the committee to include the vending scenario, or is that just all set?
No, that's all set. The town of Stamford understands the position that we carry, so there's no need for that thing to be included. I can put it in the letter. I just typically do anyway. That any vending will retain, but you don't have to acknowledge that. That's just our statutory right.
Okay. Any discussion on this? Okay. Doesn't seem like a vote. Go ahead.
I was just going to make a motion.
Go ahead.
That's it. I make a motion to waive to waive the right to the Stamford Government Center but retain the vending rights.
Do I have a second?
I am of a second if we waive the facility for maintaining the vending rights.
Okay.
Was that Mr. Torres?
All in favor?
That was Amos.
Thank you.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say no.
Any abstentions?
Motion carries.
Okay. The next location to be determined is the Terry Connors Skating Rink in Stamford. This was a location we visited the same day we visited Stamford Government Center. Again, the two potential future operators were there for the site survey, at the Terry Connors. This location we waived, I believe, back in 2020 as well, right in the beginning of COVID. David, myself, and Tracy, we all went to this location. And I wanted to get out to these places myself to really make sure that there just isn't any sense of viability. Not that I don't trust the operator or the field reps, it's just I want to make sure that, you know, there isn't a true glimpse of hope of anything that comes our way going forward. So, anyhow, we went to visit this location. This is another location where this is a municipal location, so therefore would require us to pay a fee, which isn't an issue right in the beginning. However, the viability of location just wasn't observed. With these skating rink locations, they operate 12 months out of the year. However, they have peak periods.
I'm sorry, I have to pause you. There's some background noise occurring that's in the way of the recording.
Oh.
Could you just repeat what it was you just said, and can someone please mute?
Yeah, no problem with that. Skating rink locations are 12-month locations, which seem good from the outside, but when you really hone in on the business end of it, it's not as great as it appears, because within these skating rinks, there's peak period throughout the year. And so the peak period or the off-peak period oftentimes are observed to supersede the peak period. But the problem here is that this particular location, in specific, they are looking for a step up of our traditional concession food options. That's number one. They believe that if we were able to prepare a better food entree item, it could potentially increase the business. However, they made it known that they're also looking for consistent business hours, one that the two previous concessionaires were observed not to provide. And unfortunately, they believe because the previous concessionaires seem to close when needed, which is nothing wrong with that, did not give a good perception to the business that they were, you know, open on a consistent basis. So people were observed to, you know, start to bring in their own items and so forth. So, you know, with stories, there's their side, there's the concessionaire side, and then there's just the side of evaluation, and that's kind of what we are positioned to do. And so, you know, I kind of listen in to hear complaints on both sides. In this case, I can only hear it from one side, but I could easily understand why someone would you know, prematurely closed during times because there just wasn't business observed. The day that we went to do the site survey, there was actually only one individual in. But at the same token, you know, the park and rec manager or the building staff would expect our concessionaire to be open during that time. So it just is unrealistic when you factor in the amount of employees needed, which I would still assume to be at least two and three, probably during peak periods, and, you know, obviously food costs and so forth, and the long hours of operation just does not appear to show any viability. The previous concessionaire had no interest of resuming, and the concessionaire before that obviously didn't have any interest allowing for this latest concessionaire. There's no equipment in there except for a fryolator, I believe, so we would pretty much have to outfit that location just about in its entirety. So both potential clients had no interest in this location. At least one made the acknowledgement, and the other one I didn't hear from. So I would say we have no one of interest should this have been a location of interest. With that, I push this to the committee for determination.
How does that fall into a place like this? Is that belong to anyone that takes it?
Yeah, so during pre-COVID, we actually placed vending machines in there, so we currently have vending machines in place, and they would remain in there regardless if they get someone anyway. So vending machines will remain in that location.
Okay. All right. Any discussion, or would like someone like to make a motion?
I, Brandy, make a motion to pass the ice skating rink and retain the vending.
Do I have a second?
Second, Keith Haley.
Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Next location is Eastside Park in Bridgeport, Connecticut. David and I went to do a site survey on this location last week. Two nicely placed concession stands at a park that really is nice. I won't take anything away from it. The first location that we visited, it kind of gives you the feel of Ham and Acid with the two concessions, or maybe more like Greenwich, just to kind of give you guys a visual. Greenwich has two locations kind of right on the beach. This is kind of the same with Seaside Park. So we went to the first location, and very, very well equipped, so much so that there was still plastic on all of the equipment, state-of-the-art alarm system, nice AC system, nice walk-in freezer, nice hoses, water line, nice windows, a lot of nice. But behind that nice was actually on the expense of the current concessionaire. Bridgeport does not hold responsibility for anything when providing concession opportunity. The situation with Bridgeport is there's the current concessionaire who's operated there for, I believe, 6 years now, 5 or 6 years. He made a promise to the city that he would open up both stands within his contractual period. I don't know why he wasn't able to completely renovate the first stand that we went into, but he's about three quarters done, and apparently the city has pretty much, I don't want to say pull the plug, but has given him all the time that they were going to give him to be able to open up that location. So with that said, all of that nice equipment and everything I just described is not the owner, is not, the city does not own it, the operator owns it. And they don't know at the moment if the current operator is going to pull all that equipment out or try to sell that equipment to the new person that takes over. However, and he may even resume the operation. But anyhow, he has a lot of money in there, invested in there, and the city of Bridgeport does not want any responsibility of any of the concession responsibilities, therefore, internally and externally. I did see a copy of the previous RFP. It does mention that the city should be responsible for the exterior issues, repairs, and so forth, but the gentleman that I spoke with was pretty clear to say that the city is in no financial way responsible or would look to be responsible at this time to take care of any of the exterior or internal structural repairs. Our program does not pay for structural repairs. We couldn't do that anyhow. So right off the bat, that was a major red flag for us while leading into the second location. So that was observed. We walked into the second location. That was obviously this current concessionaire's prime operation. Needed a lot of work. When we walked in, we observed a lot of issue structurally inside that I was able to point out and was reminded that right now, you know, they're looking on trying to kind of be able to take corrective actions in the future and assist with these concessions. But at this time, they kind of were firm that their hopes is to get a concessionaire in that can do everything that's necessary to provide concession opportunities. So there was a lot of old equipment in there. They don't get full electricity in that location, so they had to improvise with, for example, they run an electric fryolator, and even that was a low voltage electric fryolator. We observed like tabletop household type of fryolators to assist. There was only a 4-foot window, serving and order window. It was just one window. It wasn't an expedite window. And if we should need that, we would have to cut a hole out to create that. The city of Bridgeport right now just isn't in a good place to really provide this concession RFP. In addition, they're considering piloting a food truck opportunity pad in a certain area of the park. They didn't view it as competition. I'm not sure why, but they thought that this would just be ideal to offer more food options to, you know, the patrons that go to the park. Obviously, looking at it from a business standpoint, that would just be something devastating to the concession stand. So I would just say at this time, Bridgeport has a lot to kind of figure out as to ensuring that what they're looking to provide gives someone actually a good business opportunity. I didn't observe that. Dave didn't observe that. So that's the information that I have for the committee to weigh in on. Oh, in addition, I did not have anyone of interest for this location.
Okay. Any discussion, or would someone like to make a motion?
Me, Brandy, I'll make a motion. I make a motion to pass on Seaside Park, but I am interested to know if there's any vending that we can place in the park, because there is definitely many different festivals and other things that go on. I guess we should put that into discussion first, but came to me as I was talking, sorry.
Yeah.
So I don't pretend any vending rights if there are any.
Okay. Yeah, as far as vending machines, they don't want any vending machines. I guess it's a pretty tough area. So obviously we'll honor that request. But should they need vending machines, we will definitely have our first right initiated.
Can I throw a little twist to that
Absolutely.
Motion? So because of the RSA program thing that where we were talking about the cards and that tomorrow in the future, can we put a little note in there to have an opportunity to be part of their food truck thing? If they do
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Okay, so a motion to retain any vending if there is, and or be a part of any open bid for food trucks or carts or whatever.
Chief Haley, second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. Any abstentions? Motion carries.
All right, excellent. Got that. Da-da-da-da. Okay, George B. Hamill Skating Rink in Greenwich. This was a location that we actually waived in 2020. In our waivers, we state this waiver is good for the period in which you seek a contract or you go into a contract with a concessionaire, and then at that time of expiration, they must reach back out to our agency for first right. I do not believe Dorothy Hamill has gone into a contract. I did send two emails to the gentleman to confirm this, but I wanted to obviously bring it back just in case he responded and said he did. But this is another skating rink location in Greenwich. It's probably about a third the size of the one in Stamford. I would say the same thought process applies with Greenwich. One, the location and the size. Two, the requirements that you would have to be at this location and have set hours. And the hours would likely be more non-peak hours than peak hours. You would require at least two employees at this location. In addition, the request to have, again, a step up from the typical concession foods was made and observed on their request. And we don't have anyone in the location, in the area that has interest. Skating rink locations will always be a very difficult location to take over unless we have just that ideal operator who maybe, you know, can go into business with a family member to really help. But once you start factoring in payroll costs and the amount of hours that, you know, requires you to stay open, it's very difficult to operate. And that's why we often hear these skating rink opportunities come to us quickly. You know, they don't really go into the five-year contract deals because oftentimes you see these someone taking a chance and either not renewing the following year or, you know, 2 years after. So I anticipate skating rinks to always be a problematic operation unless something big happens, you know, in the area of the locations in which drives many, you know, additional patrons into the skating rinks. But for this location, I would just ask the committee to maybe, I would say make a motion on a determination, even though I do believe they have not gone into a contract. So, but it's ideal to just revote on this location.
Tyrell, I just want to add, hockey rinks, yep, similar to what you just said, but they're ultimately a seasonal location. After April, not much goes on in hockey rinks until September when the hockey season starts. I mean, they do public skating, but they're kind of like a ghost town in the summertime. So,
And I appreciate that, Keith. And, you know, the thing is, that was kind of like what we were talking about when we were in Stamford with the management. Because, you know, essentially we were saying, they're saying that, yeah, you can have flexibility in the hours. However, they still just wanted you to be open, like, year-round. And I'm just, you know, when you're looking at it from a 365-day perspective, there are way more non-peak days than there are peak days in these skating rinks. And that was definitely observed at both of them. So it's something to really consider, you know, as a program. And even if we get operators who have interest or individuals who have interest in these areas, to make sure that we strongly point out to them should they ever have interest in the future. But good point, Keith.
That said, I would, Keith will make a motion to waive this location but retain our rights to defending if it applies.
I'm sorry, could we repeat the motion? There was some background noise.
Yeah, I'm going to repeat it because there was some beeping going on. Keith Haley makes a motion to waive this location but retain our rights to defending if it applies.
Do I have a second?
Hi, Brandy.
I hear Brandy on the second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say no. Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Next location. Well, the next three locations are actually our existing locations. And And the time is now where we have to make determinations and decisions for these locations. So Middlesex Courthouse, as you all know, Steve Hilliard was the operator for many years at the Middlesex Courthouse. With that said...
I'm sorry, there's some background noise. The recorder's not picking up what you're saying. I apologize.
No problem. Can whoever's in the area with the background noise, if you have the ability to press R6 to mute, I greatly appreciate it. All right, thanks. So Middlesex Courthouse, operated by Steve Hilliard. Many of you know Steve has left the program. He's taking his talents to Florida. He actually just moved out of state. So with that said, this location has been observed over the years, or throughout the years, to slowly be decreasing in annual profit. So much so that part of the reason for Steve's departure was that he didn't really see an opportunity to continue at the courthouse. The courthouses have made many changes during COVID. They've gone to online cases. They've reduced some of their level of required in-house court cases or whatever you want to call per se. But the reduction of population in these buildings have been observed to have drastically reduced. Now, things are picking up. There's trial cases starting to pick back up. But yet, overall, there's still a reduction of people in these buildings. Middlesex, I would say, without the incentive plan, was observed to have made less than $10,000 pre-COVID. And so now, when you factor it in, you can pull out the incentive, what have you, it was really about a $9,000, $8,000 without incentive opportunity. It's very difficult to pick up these locations and keep moving forward and really try to provide an opportunity for operators. Operators that are interested in our program that I've been speaking with as of late are looking for real opportunity. And I, you know, I'm not discrediting the dollar amount, but I'm stating that these operators are looking for $40,000 and $50,000, $60,000 opportunities. I'm not finding operators who are looking for anything less than, you know, to be honest with you, than a $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 opportunity. That was observed in Stanford, and I just actually had someone recently reach out who was also looking for the same thing. So as we get to these locations that are observed to be make less than minimum wage, it's not appealing to many newcomers into the program, and I'm not getting any interest with our existing operators, respectfully so, because we don't have operators that live close enough to make it, you know, worth their time for anything of that, anything less than minimum wage. So Middlesex Courthouse is this location. It's on the second floor. It's really not an ideal location to place a concession opportunity. The only people that go on the second floor is if you're going to the law library. All court cases are handled on the first floor. And it just doesn't warrant, it doesn't get the foot traffic. And I don't think it's an opportunity that we should try to hold on any further. The courthouse has reached out to me in regards to placement or what, you know, our future thoughts were, and so that's why I wanted to bring it to you guys today to make a determination. Vending machines, I believe, are placed there. If not, we'll definitely place it. I believe there is a vending machine in there. And so we would just retain rights or look to place vending machine, if not, going forward. So with that, I push it to the committee for consideration or review.
This is Brandy. I can attest to there is no vending machines in there right now.
Okay.
Nothing. And we definitely need some vending machines in there. And I was curious and wondering if it would be possible to put even a fresh food vending machine in there. Because where that courthouse is located, there's not anything nearby. You got to walk well up the road to be able to get anything. And some of those places don't even open till 3 o'clock. They're not always open for lunch. So I would say if we could maybe look at a fresh food vending machine along with a snack machine and a soda machine for sure. And if we, even a coffee machine would also be an idea that maybe we